Okay, so I am here with the Todd Robert Anderson. I kind of have butterflies.
Well, you have butterflies.
I do.
I'm the guest. I'm the one who should have butterflies.
Well, I've never met someone of your stature actor-wise, you know, because I've seen all of your stuff. I have. I've been a fan for a long time.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah. So, you know, thanks for being here. Thanks for having me here.
Well,
thanks
you,
for being
I mean,
born.
You had me, but thank you.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you here. It'd be weird to not have the host of the show in the room with me.
Well, I don't know. It could be a guest host. I could be a guest host of myself.
You could.
Well, it all depends on who shows up.
That's
that's how I like to run my show.
That's good. That's good. That's
my, what other personalities?
You have multiple?
What, don't you?
As an actor,
especially, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way.
Sure. Well, I think you should. From what I've observed.
Yeah, I mostly just try to, you know, play myself. I don't like to demonstrate range on any level.
I thought you were a good crier. From the work I've seen.
Yeah, I'm a great crier.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm always, you know, basically on the cusp of crying anyway. So it's just a matter
right.
of letting it go.
That's why the comedy's so funny.
Yeah, because it's comedy, but with almost crying. It's always good.
Have you ever, well, I'm sure you've had this one. This was the more common one, but where you cry until you laugh. Like you're just crying about something and then all of a sudden it leads to laughing. I feel like that's like heaven right there, that little exchange, you know, and you're like, oh, you know what? This is actually funny.
Yeah, that's happened to me.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done that in an acting performance, but it certainly happens to me.
I had a friend then laugh till she cried, and she was watching a Superbad.
I've done that. Well, but she laughed, and then she...
Then she, like,
laughed,
had some...
and then she sobbed, or she laughed so hard that she cried?
She sobbed, like something broke through.
And then it wasn't fun anymore. Yeah, because that's different, because... When I was growing up, my favorite thing to do was to try and make my mom laugh so hard that she cried. But it wasn't sob crying. It was just laughing so hard there were tears.
I think you should look back at that. I'm wondering if that's actually true or if that was sobbing.
I'm going to have to. I'll call her.
Yeah. Is she alive still?
Oh, yes.
That's good. Both the parents alive?
Yes, they are.
Which are your favorite? Mom or dad? No, seriously. Come on, just right off the top of your head, you were going to say you're...
Honestly, it's a tie. I don't play favorites with...
On my show, I really demand honesty.
That is an honest answer.
Okay, really, so if you had to kill one, which would you kill?
Wow. Well, my mom's the cook.
So dad goes.
So, I mean, it's a survival... So, that's a survival situation.
No, I think that's why everyone... Yeah, that's why moms cook and do clothes. We try to make ourselves invaluable because...
Although he does the grilling, the outdoor grilling.
That'll give cancer.
That's true. So, again, the survival thing.
Yeah.
I guess dad has to go.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, that's tough.
But, you know, you played that very diplomatically.
I'm very diplomatic.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
In what way?
In the way where if someone asks me which of my parents I want to kill, I'll be very diplomatic about it.
Mm-hmm. Are you, like, diplomatic when you're auditioning and all that kind of stuff? Do you have to play? Are you good at playing the game?
Well, if by the game you mean... like talking
daisy
people
chain?
Up
no, I don't mean
when
that.
I'm in the room, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
Well,
no,
yeah,
I'm,
no.
I'm not good at that.
Because they like that, right? Everyone responds to some.
Well, some people
attention.
Do. Other people don't. I mean, it's so many of the people I audition for, I really don't know.
Yeah.
So outside of maybe looking them up on IMDb beforehand, there's not a lot that I know about them. So I don't necessarily. A lot of people will actually won't respond well to that because you go in and you blow smoke and they're like, oh, this guy's just blowing smoke.
Oh, yeah. Too friendly.
It really depends. And some people they're backed up. So they need to get through a lot of actors. So they don't want you to come in and start yammering. They're like, okay, that's nice. Can we do this now?
Is this how he's going to be on set? Yeah, these M&M's are the best M&M's I've ever had. Shut
exactly.
up, say your line.
So I find, you know, I just go in and do the audition, and I'm polite and nice.
Do you take a lot of lunches? Do you have to do that?
Take a lot of lunches?
Yeah, are you like is it like a networking thing actors have to do as well?
Well, I think that's more of a celebrity or quasi-celebrity.
Or if you're just networking, situation. Just meeting people, you know, getting your name out there.
I'll have lunch with whoever.
Anytime. Todd will take a lunch.
Anyone wants to have lunch, I will meet them for lunch.
Yes. If you could see this right now, he's holding up his little Facebook page. He's, we'll work for food.
We'll work for lunch, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're picking up the check, so much the better.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I got a couple questions here.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you a virgin?
No.
No.
No, no. I am not a virgin.
Do you remember when you lost your virginity, or is it just lost in the
haze? Unfortunately, yeah, I do actually remember.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I lost my virginity.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Could you paint a picture?
Sure. It was in my dorm room in college.
Okay.
It was actually
wow.
My sophomore year in college. Mm-hmm. And
so slightly late statistically.
Statistically, yes. Yes. It was quite late. Yeah, it was this girl that I was in acting class with.
And do you feel she was more experienced than you?
Well, she wasn't a virgin.
Okay.
When she took my virginity. So mm-hmm. in that way, I would say, yes, she was more experienced. In retrospect, she really didn't have much more of an idea what she was doing either. So
due to her...
yes, I don't think she really figured out who she was sexually at that point.
Mm.
You know, just kids fumbling around.
Like, yeah, did she like know you? She was old. Taking your virginity?
Yeah, she knew. Yeah, it was very businesslike.
Oh.
Yeah, it was. It was sort of a get it over with kind of deal.
Yeah, well, at that point,
well,
I'd imagine
it was
you were...
for me, yeah. Because, you know, I'd had a lot of long...
Todd's a very good-looking man, for those of you not familiar with his work, to the level I am.
For a... well, thank you.
So this is, you know, shocking, really, to thousands of women.
Maybe. Well, I was a lot... I mean, I was rail thin when I was a kid. I was like a Raggedy Ann.
Okay.
So... You know, and kind of dorky, so...
Yeah, but the skinny and dorky girls kind of dig that.
Yeah, maybe.
Was it the chicks? Were the chicks always like, no, 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 no? Were you always like, yes, yes, yes? Or are you like, eh, can wait?
No. It was no. My, maintaining my virginal status for that long was not for lack of trying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a tendency to get in long-term, friendships that were almost
classic, yeah. Always a friend.
Yeah. And then
once you get that card, that's very hard to let loose. I know that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I was a sucker for it. I really was, you know. And I think a lot of the women I had these things with were damaged.
Did you listen to a lot of Duran Duran back then?
I did not.
Okay.
I was not a
just trying
new
to figure
wave
out the demographic.
Guy. Right. I wasn't. I was a rock and roll guy.
So that would be in your favor as well.
I guess, except in my high school. I mean, that's... well, I mean, I guess there were a lot of people listening to New Wave, but it was a rock and roll high school.
Yeah.
It was kind of stuck in the 70s. Even though it was the 80s, it was very much like that movie, Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. I feel that way, too. My high school.
But, yeah, so, no, I didn't... I mean, they played it at all the school dances.
Yeah.
The New Wave stuff, which is pretty much all I... was exposed to. I didn't listen to it on the radio.
Hmm.
But people were into Duran Duran and Madonna, like girls.
Oh yeah, but that's
but
what I thought.
The guys weren't into that stuff.
But sometimes guys were like, oh, I like what the girls like, you know, and then you just accidentally.
Yeah, I think so.
Sort of one
I think
of the girls.
I think you two actually helped bridge that gap
yeah.
between the genders.
Maybe that and R.E.M.
Yeah,
so R.E.M. still a girls band.
I guess R.E.M., yeah. I mean, in high school, it was the U2 thing was more apparent. But I guess college, yeah, I remember people really liking R.E.M. of both genders.
Yes.
But not so much in high school.
All right, well, after you lost the big V, was it then just like a watershed? Like you couldn't keep them off you, the girls?
I dated a lot of girls in college, basically 3 months at a time. Part of the reason I think that I finally lost my virginity is I made a pointed... Because I was a nice guy, and I pointedly said, well, maybe if I'm not so nice, I'll get
yeah.
laid more.
Yeah.
And that theory proved correct.
Yes.
Yes. But as a result, I was being a real prick in that you know, date someone for 3 months and then see someone else more interesting and then seal that deal and then break it off with the, you know, so I was constantly...
I was that way too. Yeah, absolutely.
Constantly making sure there was someone that would have sex with me, but...
Yeah, I thought there was something wrong with me. I always had the multiple, like, you know, I was always juggling somebody else, you know.
I did that a lot. And then after I did that, you know, I did that a lot in college. And then after I, you know, right after I graduated college, it was like, I don't like me this way. I don't like me being a jerk. Oh, excuse me. That's my phone. I didn't turn it off.
This is Agent calling for lunch. Someone can see this.
I have no idea who that is.
I'm sorry. I usually remind my guests.
Yes,
to
I
do
apologize.
That,
that was very unprofessional. But you did get to hear my...
What is that?
It's George Takei from Star Trek.
Yes.
That's his catchphrase. Oh, my. You know, from Howard Stern or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've been on Howard Stern?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't even listen
to
Howard
really
Stern.
Inadequate.
A friend of mine is a Star Trek fan, and he listens to Howard Stern.
And he made
and
that
Takei,
fun of you.
Yeah, Takei's on there all the time doing his oh, my thing. So.
Yeah. It's gay Takei, right?
Gay Takei.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually, one of the things he said that was funny was he offered his name, you know, so
oh, yeah,
some people weren't saying, oh, that's so gay. He said, let's not use that word, but you can use my name now. So it's so Takei.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I've been using gay.
Yeah, you gotta use
make
Takei.
The switch.
It's politically incorrect to use gay. Now
do
you say Takei.
Yeah. How do you feel about the whole PC thing? Are you a PC kind of guy?
I am.
You are.
I am PC.
You don't want to use the word
if
nigger.
If I'm with close friends, then I will be markedly un-PC because they know I'm not serious. And it's fun to be inappropriate.
Yeah.
Just get it out.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
like a little bit of Tourette's in everybody. But when I'm in mixed company, people I don't know, I'm very sensitive to political correctness.
Yeah. I'm not so much. I kind of like to read people's reactions, you know? I feel like that gives you a very nice intimacy.
That's the way my grandfather was. He
That's
would,
interesting.
He would say whatever he wanted to say. And he wasn't... Well, I mean, to say he wasn't racist is probably not true. But he wasn't, you know, a prejudiced person, I guess you'd say.
Well, they're like harmless racist.
Yeah, well, I mean, he would say racist things to get rises out of people.
Yeah.
To
And to
maybe,
he yeah.
enjoyed getting rises out of people. He was a good-humored guy. It's not, you know, he... it's an odd thing. It's
Did
a generational
he have a
thing, too.
It is a generational... Did he have a catchphrase, though? Like, gay to K, did he have a...
No, he didn't really have a catchphrase. He quoted Archie Bunker a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's a bunker kind of guy.
Yeah, he was a bunker kind of guy. He enjoyed the
And again, another lovable racist.
Yeah, yeah. He was a lovable racist.
Yeah. I have an uncle like that, but he's not of that generation, so that's a little spookier.
Yeah. My grandfather wasn't... I mean, he liked Archie Bunker because I think he got the humor of it. But he wasn't, you know, the kind of racist that... I mean, I really think he just said things... to get a rise out of people.
Yeah, and homophobia is sort of the new racist, you know, like would...
Yeah, yeah.
He probably wouldn't have been as open to the
The gay slur. Well, it's tricky because, and I think it's changing, but certainly when I grew up, you know, if you thought negatively about something, you're like, oh, that was gay.
Yeah, or they'd be a fag, just any guy was who was an asshole or you wanted to put down was a fag, right?
Yeah, yeah, to a degree. I mean, I think more, yeah. I mean, you called your friends, you know, fags a lot when they were being stupid. What are you being, a fag?
That's you know? So funny. And, I mean, as a woman, we don't do that at all, so that's really weird
yeah.
to me.
Well, I mean, and that was the thing, you know, because I grew up in a small town, and then as soon as I went to New York and, you know, had all these gay friends because I was in the theater, I was like, oh, wow, that wasn't cool, you know? And then I go back with the friends right. who never left, and they're still talking that way. I mean, it's the same thing as, like, a lot of my friends use the phrase, you know, don't Jew me on this thing, you know, because there were only two Jewish families in town, so they didn't, you know, if you're not exposed to other people, you don't realize just how offensive and pig-headed that is.
Yeah.
And I definitely think, you know, that was true about the people in my high school.
I think that's what happens with slurs against women, because yeah, obviously it's not like you have to get to know women to understand that that's a slur. You sort of are introduced to the very first one as soon as you're born.
That's true. Actually, she becomes so desensitized to it. I would say more than homophobia now. I would say, you know, gay slurs are way less accepted than slurs against women.
Yeah.
Used in that context.
Yeah.
You know, you're being a pussy. You know, you're screaming like a girl.
Yeah.
Stuff like that is still pretty much accepted.
Yeah.
Versus calling people gay. After, you know, I think it's still okay in high school, you know, at this point.
Like, he's not condoning it.
Yeah.
You just mean...
Yeah. No, I don't mean it's okay. I mean it's not, you know, it's not... It won't offend the hell out of everyone you're with. Whereas now, like, as an adult, especially... You know, in a large city and in the business I'm in, I mean, that's an offensive thing to say.
Absolutely. That'll get you in a hell of a lot of trouble.
It really will.
Yes.
It really will.
So back to the virginity question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we had the watershed, post-college, you know. Because do you have that point where you sort of, you have all those sexual experiences and then you sort of have the one that's like, oh, this is what sex is?
Oh, like sex actually being good as opposed to utilitarian.
Yeah.
There was
a French lady.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I did date a French.
It's girl, always a French girl.
And yeah, I took her virginity. That's the irony.
Oh.
And that wasn't. That was.
That's a little irony.
And I felt bad after. But yeah, there were a couple of women I dated later in college who, I was like,
exactly.
This can be really good.
Right.
If it was good before, I was fine, I was having a good time, but this is way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also think that came down to the women, these women that I'm referencing here, were, understood themselves and their own bodies more than the ones, you know, when I was slightly younger.
Yeah, well, you have to be able to lose yourself a little bit. You know, you got to meet in that place in between.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where you're both like, you know, you lose yourself, right?
Well, yeah, there's a certain amount of trust involved, of course. But yeah, you lose yourself. But I also think, like, more practically, it's if a woman knows her own body and what makes her happy sexually, then she's going to be better to have sex with. Because the guys are way simpler. I mean, as far as what we're trying to get to.
I think you're happy with less. I don't think you're simpler, but I think you're definitely happy with less.
Yeah. Okay, I see. Yes, you're right. Well, and it's more, you know, a male orgasm is more pointed and obvious than a female orgasm, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
And that the male orgasm is, I guess, biologically speaking, that's what you're both trying to get to. As far as procreating is concerned.
Right.
The female orgasm is not as important as far as procreation is concerned. But as far as, you know, having sexual experiences that aren't simply about biology.
And if you want to procreate with the same person again.
Right.
It might become very important.
Right. It could be a huge thing. Yes, absolutely. But, I mean, it's like, you know, it's... also, I think, I mean, at least for me... And where I was in history and evolution and all that, I would say. And also, you know, because religion kind of vilifies, especially Christianity, vilifies masturbation so much, especially female masturbation. I mean, it's like a sin if you're a guy, but they kind of look the other way and go, man, what are you going to do? You're a guy. But with girls, it's way more gross and... wrong. At least that's what everybody's taught.
Yeah, well, and so it's much harder for women to discover. You know, we're not sitting in class getting erections, you know, or having wet dreams.
That's true. That's,
so, we're, you know, to discover that you have this sexuality hidden inside of you is kind of like...
Well, and you're... But also, I mean, I just think so many people, you know, and I think it's not so much the case now because I think they're more sex positive, I guess you'd say, people of, you know,
just do that in your room, honey.
Yeah, just, that's good.
Great,
do it on
for
your
you.
Own. Just do it on your own. That's good. But I think there was a lot less of that when I was growing up you know, certainly in the town that I was in. But I feel like, you know, in college, part of the reason that when I was later in college, I realized, oh, wow, these girls really know what they're doing. I think maybe they were also figuring that out in college. They were suddenly realizing, oh, it's not, you know, evil to understand my own turning on points.
Yeah, I was way post-college when that happened for me. And then I was sort of angry at everyone I had been with prior to that. Like, way to get off easy, you know? Like, what does this look like? Goddamn vacation? Please, just lay there. Don't do that thing that you know how to do. So, in fact, I divorced my first husband partly because of that. I really couldn't get over it. I was actually married.
Oh, I see.
When I had my first orgasm. And so I was like, really? All this fucking time.
Really?
Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get over that?
And he was like, God damn it, she found out.
No, he was like, that's, you know, he was all over it after that, but still, I was like, forget it. I can't trust you. What else are you holding out on me for your own laziness purposes?
That's true, but I, you know, I'm also...
It'd be one thing if he had asked, so can you not? You know?
Those are, if you actually physically can't, those are deep-seated psychological issues.
But he shouldn't have married
me. You need to work through, but...
He wasn't trying, let me just say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once I figured that out, it became very... I mean, I think that's the other thing that happens for guys. I mean, that's where it gets tricky for guys, because... because you know, if you're unselfish, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not all just about... getting it in and getting it off,
yeah.
So you can get to the football. Then you know, female orgasms become kind of important to you. But then what happens is you wind up putting too much pressure on your partner.
Yeah, because it can't be that. That can't be the end all be all. Or you're not going to have a whole lot of fun.
No, no, it's not. Yeah, that's. Yeah, you can't be goal oriented.
No, did you hear that, everyone?
You have to live for the moment.
Oh, do do do. We're here with Todd and Sex Secrets. He's a sensitive type, as we've now established.
Yeah, sure.
Faggy, girl's best friend.
Yes, I definitely was that.
Overly concerned about the female orgasm.
Yes, I'm definitely that.
Felt bad about that French virgin you deflowered.
I do.
A whole country's mad at you, because, you know.
Well, yeah, that's irony. You're supposed to.
A little irony, I keep telling
you. She was a French au pair, too. She was a. Man. I mean, that's.
Yeah, she
like,
really should know her shit by
like,
then.
Yeah, and she was older than me.
You
so
probably
that
did her
was,
a favor.
Yeah,
God,
I was like,
really?
What is going on? How am I
did
the
she have
one.
Big D cups?
How did I find the one French nanny who's older than me in the whole of the world who was a virgin? I don't get it.
Yeah, you kind of probably would have preferred her to be one of your experienced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought that another one of my many ex-husbands had, he always talked about this French girl. Oh, this French girl. And she was rolling in the waves of the Riviera. And I'd always thought he had slept with this girl. Until later, it's like, no, I was just watching her roll in the waves. Like, he had such a thing for her. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you never slept with... Oh, no, I never knew her name.
No idea.
But you've never forgotten this French girl. Yeah, so that's how I'm going to move to France and come back.
Yeah.
An au pair, an experienced au pair. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it in my palm of my hand.
Go for it.
Thank you, I will.
Go for it.
All right, I think we're off the sex talk now.
All right, no more sex talk.
Okay, this was, where did you grow up? So,
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, and where in Massachusetts?
In a small town called Sherburne.
Sherburne? Sounds a lot like Sherbert.
Well, it's actually Sherborne, but if you're in Massachusetts, you actually say Sherburne.
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 Yes, and so it was sort of a conservative, regular old... School.
Yeah, it was a conservative place, Christian, white people.
Yeah.
I think at one point in this town, Massachusetts is very segregated. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still is. But then there were literally no black people living in our town.
Yeah.
And one black family moved in, and they lasted 2 years. You know, and then.
It's not funny,
and
actually.
By that time, because when my parents moved to the town, it was actually, there weren't a lot of people there. But then, you know, population grew and it became an outer suburb, really. Because it was pretty rural when they bought their land and built their house there. But by the time I got to high school, it was very rich.
Oh, okay.
Because all the rich people were moving out there because there was land and they could build their giant houses. So this wasn't, these weren't poor people moving in, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't be poor and move to this town. Unless, you know, your family had been there since the beginning of time, which, you know, there were townies and stuff there. But,
townies.
Most of my friends were sons and hence daughters of townies. It was like I couldn't keep up with the rich people. Because I, you know, they were constantly...
And they don't give it up.
Going to the Caribbean.
Those townie girls.
Yeah. No, no, they don't. They do not.
But are damaged.
They are.
They will give it up to someone later in life, like fierce.
I'm sure they did.
All that damage is sure pouring
out. No, they were giving it up, but not to me.
Oh.
That's what I mean. There was a disconnect between someone you could be friends with and someone you could have sex with.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah.
You know, because their boyfriends were...
The bad boys.
They were not
the
nice.
The dicks, yeah.
They were not nice. but, you know, whatever.
Same. Did the townies date, like, the rich boys? The rich whitey boys?
Yeah, everybody wanted to date the rich boys because they were rich.
Yeah.
And they could get good drugs.
What kind of drugs?
There was a lot of acid in my high school because it was kind of a hippie-ish, like I said, like Dazed and Confused. That was a lot of acid and coke. It was a lot of coke.
Did you do drugs back then?
No.
No, me either.
No, I didn't even smoke marijuana until I graduated high school.
Mm.
First time I smoked marijuana was in my hometown, but it was after I graduated high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a nice old blunt?
Yeah, it was this guy. I worked at a video store. He had a joint. And he's like, well, you should take it. You know, and I was like, all right. And my friend, who was a kind of stoner throughout high school, was like, oh, cool, I'll smoke a weed. So we did. And I had totally had one of those experiences where I was like, this isn't doing anything for me. But then we smoked the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it just hit me at one point. I was like, oh, my. And I just couldn't stop laughing. For like 2 hours.
So great. You don't laugh as much anymore, you know? Once you get a little used to it,
you don't
always get that.
You don't. But I did. I laughed so much, actually, I didn't want to anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I was smiling and it hurt. I was just like, I want to stop smiling. I want this to end. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your worst stoned experience? Like, can you remember your most high where you were begging to come down?
There was one time, it was over the summer, it was back in my hometown again, but all my buddies, they were all big beer drinkers, and they weren't, you know, anti-pot, they just didn't really like it that much, but I was like, you know, the same guy at the video store, because I worked there over the summers, you know, college, gave me another one, and I went over to my friend's house, and I was like, hey, we should smoke, and they were like, ah, all right, so we were passing it. But what I wasn't paying attention because we were all talking and they were passing it, but nobody
was hitting it.
It but me. And then at a certain point, I was so... And no, when nobody else is high and you're that high, it's miserable.
Oh, yeah. I've never had that. All of my incredible stone moments have been with other people equally, you know,
right.
Frightened.
And, it was like me just like... And I. It was... The smile was painful. I could not... I just wanted to stop smiling. I wanted to be sad again.
I can understand that. You're in your hometown after all.
Yes.
So where you grew up, it sounds like it was kind of, at least maybe your property was rural. Was there a lot of nature around?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was all trees.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I remember I took a friend of mine from college. We went camping and we took the train to, you know, Massachusetts. And my dad picked us up and drove us to my hometown. We spent the night in my house, and then we went camping up in New Hampshire. But when we were getting there, this guy, you know, had spent most of his life in New York City. And he's like, so tell me about you know, your town. And we drove into my town, and I just said, there are trees everywhere. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
That was the whole tour. Because there were a lot of trees.
Yeah. Was it idyllic kind of childhood in a way?
Yeah, it was, well, I mean, yes and no. I did love the woods, and I loved, you know, walking through forests and stuff.
Yeah.
But when it came to going to school, I didn't like it at all.
What about the family life?
Family life was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my parents are really cool, and yeah, I have a brother and sister.
Oh, cool. And where are you, the middle?
I'm the oldest.
Oh.
Yeah,
my sister's the do-gooder in you.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the home life was good, was all that?
Yeah, yeah. My parents were very, very sweet and supportive and, you know, but they were parents. They weren't, you know, my buddies.
Yeah.
They were parents. But they were always very involved in everything I was doing. helping out at the school and stuff. It was, yeah, my friends used to call, because all my friends' parents were divorced, or had open marriages, but not like, not the happy open marriages, sort of like, well, we got to stay together for the kids. But yeah, I had, my friend used to tell me stories about his book, because his parents weren't watching the shop like my parents were, right. So he would get beer and put it in his fridge. You know, and his parents wouldn't look twice. But then he found his mom's boyfriend drinking his beer.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, what the hell are you doing? The guy was like, I'm having a beer. He's like, that's not your beer. That's my beer. And he's like, you're in high school. You're not old enough. He's like, I don't care. Who are you?
You're fucking my mom, now you're drinking my beer?
Get out.
Enough's enough.
And I thought that was fair. But so they used to call us, you know, the Cleavers. Or the Caucasian Cosbys was my favorite.
Yeah. And your brother and sister, you got along with them? Mm-hmm. You know, to the extent you're supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, when we were kids, my sister and I butt heads a lot, but we get along great now.
Yeah. And what was Christmas like? Because, you know, we're coming up on Christmas. People can listen to this whenever they want, but we're full of the Christmas spirit right now.
Yeah, I am full of the Christmas spirit. Christmas is great. Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, it was exactly what Christmas is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, although, I mean, because my parents didn't, because we were like, it was sort of the slums of Beverly Hills situation.
Yeah.
You know, we were in the rich town and I got to go to the good school, but they didn't have the money, you know, to buy the really expensive, you know, video games and all that stuff. So I remember one time I asked for, because Star Wars was huge, I asked for one of those Millennium Falcon toys.
Yeah.
And they had these big things and you could put the action figures in it. But they got me this little porcelain thing.
Porcelain?
It was tiny. It was like, it was the Millennium Falcon in the distance is what it was. You know, it was just a little model. And I was like, this sucks.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
Well, what was like the idyllic, you know, there's that word again, which when you say Christmas, you kind of, the word idyllic just pops into my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Like walking down the stairs to the tree.
Oh, yeah, it was the whole thing. Well, yeah, we'd walk down the stairs.
Like, who got up? Like, did you get up to go wake your parents, or did you sneak downstairs? Or?
Well, we would go downstairs and we would look, but my parents were very strict about, you can go look, but wait till we get up.
Yeah.
But we'd be up at like 5.
Yeah.
So eventually my parents said, okay, you can take your stockings down. And
without your parents?
Without them. they get more sleep.
They traded sleep. You guys must have run them ragged. They traded sleep to not watch you open your stockings.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, my God. All right, so you go down there and they have the stockings. We had stockings, too. I loved all that.
Yeah, we had stockings by the fireplace and then presents under the tree, and there would be tons of presents everywhere. And there'd be a pile of presents for each of us that, mm-hmm. you know, Santa had brought and all that stuff.
Insane, just how spoiled we were.
Yes, it was crazy. And then a lot of times we'd go to my grandmother. We'd have Christmas morning at our house, but then we'd go to my grandmother's house. So we'd go and we'd have the same thing again in the afternoon. Piles of presents. It was ridiculous.
I know. I remember having piles way more than I buy my kids.
I don't get my kid anything for Christmas.
No, you shouldn't.
Every year I just remind him you have a roof over your head.
Yeah.
And I feed you.
You could give him a little porcelain falcon, Maltese falcon, just to prove the point.
Right. And he says, what did Santa bring? And I'll say, well, Santa is paying for the new sewage pipes.
Mmm.
You know.
I hope he brings his double pane windows.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, maybe this year.
Yeah, sure would be nice. Come on, Santa, bring me some new windows. That'd be nice.
And a bag full of money. I love that song.
I'd love a bag full of money.
Yeah. So, do you believe in Santa? Is Santa real?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do believe in Santa. 100%.
Yeah. What about that Santa at the mall? Is that the real Santa?
I don't think the mall Santas are the real Santas. No.
Really?
I don't think they're the real Santas. The real Santa doesn't... You don't get to see the real Santa.
Ever.
At any point. I know there are people who have glimpsed. You may catch a glimpse, but that's it. There's no, you know, going and sitting on his lap and that stuff. Yeah. He doesn't have time.
That's what, you know, are those guys, do they think they know Santa?
That's a good question.
Because that's what my kids
are saying. I'd like to think that they're sanctioned to be.
That's what, yeah, maybe like the
elves. But I think there are hacks. I mean, I think there are hacks out there.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, that's a good clause to have open there. I'm going to consider that.
Yeah, good clause.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. This is why he's the professional, people. See that? He doesn't let a pun go past. No.
I have a hard time letting puns go past.
Past puns. All right, I have a big question.
All right.
Who is God? Because I'm just, I thought maybe you might know.
I don't. No, no ideas. And I don't pretend to know who or what God is.
Well, it sounds like you had an idyllic childhood, and well, that must have included religion.
I was brought up Catholic.
Oh, good.
I was brought up
Catholic. You and I are brother and sister then.
Yeah. Although my dad was not Catholic. He would go to church with us, but he wouldn't receive communion.
What was he?
Well, his mom always claimed to have baptized him herself. So they were
the Catholics.
They were non-denominational Christians who did not attend church.
Wow!
But they were Christians, believers in Jesus, I suppose.
So self-taught Christians,
I guess.
Self-baptized.
Sure.
I like self-baptized.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't. Yeah.
So you were raised Catholic. At what point did you become a non-believer?
I stopped going to church when I was as soon as I left home.
Sure.
And it's not because, I mean, I was just, I think at that age, genuinely, I'd become genuinely confused as to what the heck we were doing on a weekly basis.
Right.
And where, why, and I didn't even understand the mythology. I didn't understand God loved us so much, he sacrificed his own son. I mean, part of me was always going, what an asshole.
Yeah.
And then also... But what did that get us? I don't understand.
Right.
I still don't understand it. He died for our sins.
Sins, yeah.
But what?
How are we saved?
Yeah, I don't get it. Because we're still all a bunch of crazy animals, dirty animals, sinning. But I guess we can, I guess you get to go to confession and get, I just didn't understand it.
Yeah, I'm with you. It really doesn't make much sense.
And the older I've gotten, the more, you know, the Judeo-Christian mythology is just, I just feel like if that's true, I mean, and I'm not saying it's not because there's no proof that it isn't, but there's no proof that it is, which is why I'm a devout agnostic about all spiritual matters. But if the Christians are right, seriously, God is kind of a jerk. He's a judgmental jerk. And I don't know if I want to align myself with that, you know, in the afterlife anyway.
Yeah, I would think at the very least, God's a hell of a nitpicker, you know? And I just can't picture, like, my life doesn't seem to reflect that.
He's very, yeah.
We're watching.
And he's very arbitrary.
Why Sunday?
And difficult. Yeah.
Why church?
Yeah, the seven, yeah, it's, there's just, and there's too much conflicting science, too.
The science of it all.
The science
really
is very, it
yeah,
conflicts
I agree.
With the religion.
Mm-hmm. So. And because the whole, we grew, you know, I grew up Catholic too, and so it was all no meat on Friday and the Lent thing. It was just all so like, gee, really? Come
right.
on, it was just.
Yeah, I, yeah.
Like one miss. You know, you live a good life, you fuck up once.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, if you kill yourself. If
you're eating a pork chop, you're like, fuck, it's Friday! Ah!
It's like that old porn movie, The Devil and Miss Jones.
It's just like
she lived a perfect life, but then she was bored, so she killed herself. Then she had to go to hell. That's not fair.
That doesn't seem fair. And, you know, they always do that whole thing, you know, all those guys, all those apostles had this last minute, I'm Saul, now I'm Paul. You know, like, all right, well, I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
Throw myself off a horse and just pretend I'm having some epiphany.
Yeah, it's not.
And next thing you know, I'm apostle.
Yeah, exactly. And then all the people who started their silly versions of it, you know, like Mormonism and stuff. I mean, you know, I'm all for
Is Mormonism people. Christianity, really? I guess
yeah,
they're Jesus Christ people. But they also worship that other guy. Seems
well,
really
that, yeah, but he was a prophet of God.
Yeah, that seems weird.
And he said, well, you know, all these other people who've been believing in this stuff haven't gotten it right, because what God wants us to do is marry a bunch of 16-year-old girls.
Well, that makes the most sense of anything you've said yet.
Yeah, no, that's the one tenet of the Mormon religion that I'm really behind.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of women feel that way too. You
Marriage.
Know, like, let's share the asshole. I mean, honest to God, I've had this conversation. Why should one woman be stuck with one guy? When you could have some sister wives, just be like, would you handle him tonight, please?
Oh,
I just
yeah.
can't deal.
That's a, yeah,
yes.
That's a good point. It makes it sound so sad.
There's enough housework to go on. That's not sad. I think it's good.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, anyone can believe what they want, I suppose. Although those Mormons tend to get in the way of other people's happiness quite a bit.
Yeah. I wonder if we pick on them so much just because it's so sort of newish, you know?
Well, it's not new. It's been around for a long, long time.
But not long, long.
I pick on them more now because...
not us long.
They're directly responsible for Prop 8. That's,
yes.
That's my big problem with them.
And the whole... Don't they go through, like, all of the Holocaust records and say Like, they saved people. They make them Mormon.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, that seemed really, right. like, yeah, icky to me.
Yeah, I read that John Krakauer book. And
because was... God knows, right? Like, if God's up there, he's going to be like, all right, who collected the most souls? You win. You know, like, is that...
It's like a contest.
Yeah, like a big game of kickball.
If you get into heaven...
They get the biggest team.
Is there a tier system in heaven? There's, like, a better part of heaven for people who got collected... I don't know. It all sounds strange.
Collecting tiers?
It's all suspect.
It is suspect. It's true. Okay, so when you do go to heaven, what do you want to hear God say? Hello, Todd. What?
Hello.
That's my God voice.
I just wanted to say, hello, Todd. Great job. Well done, son.
Well done.
Welcome.
What if it was Ian McClellan or something? That would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be much cooler if God was Ian McClellan, yeah.
Versus, like... The Sistine Chapel God. We don't know what he sounds like. I don't know. He seems pretty cool. That's a little Zeusy.
Yeah. You want Ian McKellen. You want...
Like a little ghost.
Ian McKellen.
Present.
You know, or... basically any British actor pretty much be fine as God.
God probably is British. I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think...
Like, I'd want, an asshole, but you can't help but like him.
Yeah, as much as I like Ian McShane, I don't think I'd want, God to be Ian McShane. You want, like, Ray Winstone.
Rodney Dangerfield would be worse for me.
Yeah, that would be bad. Most American actors would be bad. Like, I would hate it if God was Tom Cruise.
I was going to say Kevin Costner. How annoying would that be?
That would be annoying.
Well, it's probably Mel Gibson. I mean, who are we kidding? Obviously.
Obviously. Well, he's convinced of it, so maybe he's right.
He's the new Mormonism. The Mel Gibsonsisms.
The Gibsonisms?
The Gibsons. That sounds like it already exists. I think it might.
I'm a Gibson.
Yeah. I think I would want God to say something like, what the fuck was that? Like, just... Then I feel like I would have
well,
done something
most
right.
Most likely, God will just... if
That's
God
your life?
To heaven, he'll just go, really?
See?
Really?
Just like a woman who was married and hadn't had an orgasm yet.
Really? Really?
I buy my clothes at Justice. I just want to say that. All right. What is your favorite memory that includes ice cream?
Wow, that's...
Every Northeasterner foods. Likes ice cream. It's like something that happens. It's like Southerners liking sweet tea.
Yeah, I mean, do you mean the ice cream yourself or an event surrounding the getting of ice cream?
Any memory has ice cream in it.
All right, so, man, this is awesome.
Okay.
So me and one of those girls that I was talking about before who I
wouldn't
had a long relationship
God damn
and wouldn't
it.
Have sex with me, we were meeting a bunch of friends at a Friendly's for Sundays. Friendly's popular.
Friendly's does not lead to sex. I just want to...
No, it doesn't. But this wasn't like a set. I wasn't trying to... We were driving and we parked the car. She had kind of a big mouth. But anyway, we were waiting for this guy to leave and they were taking forever. And she started leaning out her window and cursing out this carload of dudes. And I was like, just stop. I understand they're being obnoxious, but wait.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, come on. They're being ridiculous. Out the window, I was like, oh, God.
So not realizing the rule that if girls get in trouble,
and I was
the boy
driving
gets
my mom's car. My mom's caravan was what I was driving.
Sweet.
Because I didn't have my own car. So I pulled into the parking lot, and then those guys backed up, and they were all like, what's the deal with your girlfriend there? And I was like, first of all, she's not my girlfriend. Second of all, I'm sorry. And they were like looking at me, were like, we're going to fuck up your car, dude. And I was like, whoa. And they were like,
not friendly.
And no, not friendly at all. And I ran into Friendly's to get, and it was all, you know, my acting friends. And I was like, guys, you got to help me. These guys are going to ruin my mom's car. Hurry up. And they were like,
can't help you.
We're theater guys.
Yeah.
So you're on your own. So I went out basically to stand in between the car and these guys. So when they ruined my mom's car, they'd also ruin me, so I could say, I tried to save your car, Mom, but these guys
got hot fudge in my
crap out of me. Arbitrarily, and my other, like, I had two sets of buddies. I had the theater guys, and then I was friends with the football team.
Oh.
Who were all, like, most of them were townies and stuff. And they were great guys. And I would invite them to come for ice cream with the theater fags, you know, and they would be like, oh, yeah, we'll be there. And they would never show up. And this one time, like, the timing was perfect. Yeah, this friend of mine, Matt Killeen, drove this, like, crappy old car, which I can't remember what the make and model was, but it was a really bad car that was falling apart, and we called it the Salon Elegante because at one point he'd accidentally driven it into the front of the local hair salon, destroying the front of the building.
This is high school?
Yeah. Shit. So we called it the Salon Elegante because it had destroyed a store, but still was roadworthy.
So here comes up.
It comes up. I'm like, oh my gosh! And they're like, hey, Todd. And I like looked at these guys and I said, hang on, guys. I want you to meet my friends. And they all stood up out of the car. And I was, you know, all these giant football guys. And now these guys didn't feel so tough anymore because they weren't giant football guys. They were just douchebags. And my friends were like, hey, Todd, what's going on? I was like, oh, these guys are threatening to destroy my mom's car and beat me up in the process. And I just thought maybe you guys would want to meet. And they were like, what? And then these guys just took off. And these guys are so cool. They immediately started on foot. They were all chasing after the car. Like, why you come back here?
That is like what's nice about those kind of simple people. It's like, oh, yeah. Hurt Todd, run after car. Yes.
They were very good soldiers. Well, they're not, you know, simple people.
No, of course not. But they know their job.
We watched each other's backs. Yeah. It was nice, which is not something that happened with the rich kids so much.
No.
For some reason.
Or theater people.
They didn't do that. Well, the theater people would have, but it was a size problem. I mean, it was a genuine, we can't fight. I mean,
could have at least distracted. Have you never seen a John Hughes film?
Yeah, no, they could have helped out, but they had all ordered their ice cream.
They could have had capes.
I was very disappointed in them.
No, I was too.
But the timing was perfect because I was all alone because of this loudmouth girl about to get beat.
That girl's done nothing but bring you misery.
She didn't bring me anything but misery.
Hmm. No. That sounds like a good, again, also like a good Dazed and Confused scene.
Yes, it was a good Dazed and Confused scene. And then I went in with the football players and we all had ice cream.
You didn't sit with those theater fags, did you?
No, I did not. They sat at a table away.
That's it. Okay, what's your favorite swear word?
My favorite swear word is... Well, I mean, I'd say fuck is my favorite swear word. It's just, it rolls off the tongue.
Does it?
Yeah.
Because you have to kind of put your teeth on the neck.
Yeah, but I think that's why it's satisfying, you know?
It's sort of like a hand gesture and a swear word at the same, fuck you. You know, like when people throw that bottom lip out when they do it, like you guys should do it at home.
I mean, to me, there's harsher sounding, like I think cunt is a way worse sounding word, but I don't use that very much, except, you know, when I'm being funny. But fuck is a good one. It's just a good... It's just to get it in, like when you're in the car and someone cuts you off, it's like, fuck!
Yeah.
You know, or something doesn't get... It gets it out.
Yeah. I love that whole noun, verb, adverb, you know, it's everything.
Yeah,
fuck you fucking fuckers. Everything. You know?
It's in a way, it's sort of sad because it is generally negatively used and what it means is something that's good.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is just the sound of the word and the way you form it. Yeah, it's just satisfying. Yeah, I like that.
What word makes you sad, Todd?
What word makes me sad? Mm-hmm. Packet. A packet makes me sad.
Packet, like an artificial sweetener?
No, I'm more associated with... but that is sad. I associate it more with like a packet of papers, you know, that you get in school or at a corporate meeting or something.
Like a packet.
Open your packet.
Interesting. That is awful.
I just like, I don't want to pack it.
So you didn't go to Catholic school?
No, okay, I went to a public school. But I did go to Sunday school.
Pack it. I hated Sunday school.
Oh, so boring.
The worst. So I went to Catholic school and still sometimes I had to go for one reason or another. And then sometimes I used to teach it. And it was the worst. Unless you got out of church. Unless it was like that in church where they would let you scoot out for a little while and you had like a little lesson and they gave you cookies and lemonade.
Oh, I never had that. I mean, we would have cookies and lemonade, which is the only thing that made it worthwhile. But, oh, this is boring. It was always like one of the parents at the school was teaching that, and they would, if anything, it's another reason I stopped being Catholic, because the more I learned, you know, because church is just the same thing every week with the, you know, a different sermon, which basically once you've done a year of church, you've heard all the sermons and then just recycle them.
Yeah, it's true, everybody.
Yeah, they just rewrite the same nonsense over and over again because it's all regurgitation because there's no science in it. It's like, this is what the Bible says and you regurgitate it. And then Sunday school was supposed to open your mind to what the spirituality is really about. But all it did was confuse me more, and I didn't understand the Bible.
I still don't understand the Bible. There's people who have read it. Did you know that?
Read the Bible.
People read it.
Oh, well, I had to read the Bible.
When did you ever read a Bible?
When I was a kid.
No, Sunday you meant school. Like miscellaneous scripture, like I have.
No. We did one Bible study.
We read the Bible.
Yeah, we read the whole Bible, and we would have to read it and come in and talk about. I mean, I can't say that I read it. I mean, I read every word in it, but
the word "read" starting to not take on a meaning.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm getting at. Is the more of the Bible I read, the less I was reading. I was looking at the words and going through the words and not... I mean, I didn't understand it.
I can't get through the very beginning. It's the part with Abraham,
it's
the second time, the second...
difficult person. To understand.
It is. It's people that pretend to.
Well, yeah, I kind of have the same thing with Shakespeare, to be quite honest.
I am with you. I can listen to Shakespeare, then I sort of get it, and then someone explains it to me, and I'm like, okay.
I get
what's the point of going through all that? It's like poetry.
I get the aesthetics of it. Yeah, I get the aesthetics of Shakespeare, but I don't... It's like, most of the time, I don't understand what people are saying.
Yeah.
When I'm watching a Shakespeare play or reading Shakespeare. You know, and then I went to acting school where I had to do all this Shakespearean stuff.
Yes.
And memorize Shakespeare and understand what it was about. But honestly, I mean, I still... I was faking most of the time.
I took 2 Shakespeare courses in college. I got A's in both of them. I knew nothing about Shakespeare. You know what I mean? I knew what they were asking me. I know who Flagstaff is, but I don't.
I know why you can't say the name of the Scottish play in certain theaters. But Shakespeare, I am not.
I get the icons, you know? I see its influence in, like, literature and our popular culture and all that stuff. But, yeah, I'm...
The history and the general plot lines of the more popular Shakespeare, because there was a lot of Shakespeare I read that I'd never heard of, and I didn't understand what was going on, and when I asked my professors what was going on, they didn't really know, because they weren't the stories that have resonated, you know, the Hamlets and the Romeo and Juliets and all that. But you going into Romeo and Juliet, you understand the basics of the plot.
Yeah.
But I still don't understand what people are saying to each other most of the time. I really don't.
Yeah, maybe if, like, I mean, did he, like, invent writing? I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, no, he was just a popular playwright.
Now they think he's, like, a hack, right?
Well, Roland Emmerich thinks he's a hack.
Who's that? Who's Roland Emmerich?
Well, he did that movie Anonymous that came
That's
out
him.
A couple months
yeah.
ago. But he also did 2012, and The Day After Tomorrow, and Independence Day, and all those disasters.
Oh, so
and if it's 10,000 BC, and Stargate...
It's not sci-fi then.
Mostly entertaining films, but junk.
Yeah.
You know.
So you probably should leave Shakespeare alone.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But I mean, I haven't seen the movie. I can't speak for it. But I it's all about the fact that the idea that there was no Shakespeare and it was just
a whole bunch of people or one person or Mr.
Flagstaff.
Well,
there was a bunch of anonymous writers and.
It's Falstaff, by the way. I just don't want to get letters. I was kidding.
Yeah. Well, you probably would get a lot of letters. Well, some people understand it, I guess, and that's great. That's awesome.
Now people love it, right? Like, people are addicted to it. Festivals and...
Yeah, yeah.
But that just seems like Renaissance fair stuff to me, if you ask me. That's just like a little bit of, like, in a corset and a sword, maybe.
I suppose you can understand it if it's all you ingest.
That was a little Shakespearean.
Like, I don't understand Spanish, really.
I thought you were going to say spam.
I imagine that if I lived in a Spanish-speaking country for a long time, I would eventually understand Spanish. So, if you just immerse yourself in Shakespeare...
If you immerse yourself in spam, would you understand it?
In spam?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the meat?
Is it a meat? That's what I'm asking you. Do you understand it?
It's a meat food product of some kind. It's supposed to be meat. Spam.
Yeah. Do you like spam?
I am a completely indifferent.
Really? You don't have an opinion about spam?
I really
You're
don't.
Agnostic about spam.
I really don't. But if it weren't for spam, because you know there's a couple of companies that make fake products for movies that look like other products. Like if you see like someone smoking cigarettes that look like Marlboros, it says Morley's on them.
Hmm.
But it looks like a Marlboro pack, but it's fake. So they don't have to worry about all the legal stuff.
Yeah.
So the spam, their spam, looks exactly like a can of spam, except they call it smeet.
That's smeet.
Smeet is hilarious.
So smeet is kind of the Mormonism to the Catholicism.
Yeah, I would say that's
a newcomer.
If Catholicism is spam, then Mormonism is smeet.
Actually, Catholicism would probably think that it's like ham, then Easter ham, and then Mormonism would be spam, and then the Gibsons. would be Smeet.
The Gibsons, yeah. Or I don't know what the Gibsons would be.
Speaking of celebrities, this is a really important question. Mm. Johnny Depp. Is he done? Or just almost done?
I don't think Johnny Depp is done.
I didn't even see The Tourist, and I feel like I have something to say.
The Tourist.
Isn't that the Angelina Jolie
movie? Oh, yeah. I think I did see that, but I don't remember anything about it.
You, I think, saw it and told me it was so horrible.
Yeah, I did see it.
You guys, me, you've even film picked it.
But it wasn't so horrible that I remember. Because if a movie's, like, great bad, then I'll remember.
I think you didn't want to remember because it was Johnny Depp.
No.
Like, Angelina Jolie, fine. Everything's made crap.
There's no actor that, for me, is... I don't have rose-colored glasses about any actor. I've seen... You know, and I... There are character actors who, I mean, I think Johnny Depp is actually a good character actor. Even though he's
gorgeous. If he was a character actor.
Well, he's gorgeous. So he's stuck being a leading man. But he does a lot of his leading man... That's why his movies are weird and offbeat. Because he really is a character guy. But he gets... He can open movies. But...
No, he's like Disney's little, you know.
There's no actor in the world who can't turn in junk. I mean, and it's not always their fault. Watching The Tourist, I'm not like, oh, Johnny Depp is bad in this. I'm just, that movie's a mess. It just doesn't, from scene to scene, I don't remember much, but I do remember from scene to scene, I was like, what? This is all over the place. It doesn't make any sense.
He could have been like our River Phoenix, you know? But he's like...
Yeah, but River Phoenix died when he was pretty young. I mean, and River Phoenix was in some pretty bad movies.
Did you see Rum Diary?
No.
See?
No. I didn't, but I saw Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I loved that.
I enjoyed that film.
But why didn't we go see Rum Diary? I didn't see it either.
Because the reviews were really bad, and I knew that it had been sitting on a shelf for a number of years. Yeah. And if it's a Johnny Depp doing a Hunter S. Thompson project, and it sits on the shelf for a lot of years, then something went wrong. Because that guy's passionate about Hunter S. Thompson.
I know. He's his best friend, right? I love Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, I love Hunter S. Thompson, too.
Or I loved him.
Yeah, I mean, but also, you know, I'll probably eventually see it.
Yeah. Well, I want to see it. Let's see it together. All right. What about, Hunter, not going to heaven, commits suicide. Mm-hmm. it's not a bad way to go out. Get a little self-control.
Yeah, I guess.
You just take matters into your own hands. Seen enough. You gotta respect that on a certain level.
I guess. I mean, but he was, he was a deeply disturbed individual.
But let's not throw stones. I mean, who's not?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. I mean, maybe it's just because he went as far as he did with all the chemicals that he...
Well, yeah, and I think he was just gutsy, I don't think he was someone who seemed like he had a lot of attachments.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to just check out if he did, I don't think.
I don't know. But, yeah. I mean, Richard Farnsworth killed himself.
That's right.
That guy should go to heaven. I mean, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he killed himself because he had cancer. It's like...
What about Eggers, right? Wasn't he a famous suicide guy, too? Is that his name? Dave Eggers?
I have no idea. I don't know about that guy.
But that novel, Sustaining Sus, beautiful, heartbreaking novel. You don't remember that guy?
No, I remember the name, but I don't think I ever read his novels.
Yeah, he was like a pretty famous novelist of our generation.
Well, a lot of guys would kill, like, didn't Hemingway kill himself?
Yeah, sure.
A lot of writers kill themselves.
I think Hemingway was sick, too.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Nirvana guy killed himself because he was sick.
Yeah.
They were in just a lot of pain, so they killed
himself. That's true.
So, that's the assisted or not assisted suicide thing. I mean, I don't know.
I can't do it now because of all the gay teens. Like, I would have killed myself prior to this whole...
But you don't want to give people the wrong idea?
Well, I don't want to, yeah. I mean, you got to walk the walk now. I told all those little gays, put up with that bullying. I can't go like, I got dishes again.
Well,
the damn property tax.
Never say never, but I can't imagine...
I think you should say never in some cases.
I can't imagine that I'll ever kill myself, even if I'm... terribly ill.
Actually, if I was totally terribly ill, I would make you do it. I would totally be like, Todd, here's pills tonight.
You would make me kill myself if you were ill?
That sounds like it's not going to work out.
That's a weird thing.
That would be. I mean, if you want to go with me, if you can't see life without me, even though we just met, then I get that. But, yeah, I could be sick enough. Just if I didn't have the quality of life, I really wouldn't want to be here.
I feel like modern medicine is advanced enough to create a lot of really good drugs.
So maybe you would have a rich inner life.
You can drift away.
That's a fascinating idea.
More painlessly.
Yeah, but what if you were like a vegetable? You saw it coming. It cures this disease and, you know.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
You've never thought about
this. Maybe it's awesome being a vegetable. I don't know.
You need to make a plan. Do you have will?
I don't have will.
Wow, I can see you're glad I came along today because you need to get your affairs in order.
Affairs in order, yeah. I have reached that.
Do you want it to be buried or do you want to be cremated? Let's just get it. We'll just put it on tape.
You
don't know?
Don't care.
Todd!
This
is tragic. You've given no thought to anything. What do you do all day? You sit in traffic. You have nothing to think about?
I'm thinking about...
You're masturbating in the car?
That's a good idea. I should start.
No. We're working on the will first. Then you can masturbate all you want.
I mean, as far as that stuff is concerned, yeah, I honestly don't care if I'm buried or...
Wow, like, but why don't you care? I mean...
Because I'll be dead.
I know, but don't you just have an opinion?
No.
About where your body goes, you don't have any opinion. Huh.
What I would like is for my body to be wrapped in some of that, astronaut... foil, and I'd like to be shot into space on a rocket.
That's what I'm going to do. Just this
afternoon.
It's going
to be very costly.
Then no one's
going to... If I have any opinion, actually, is that little money is spent as possible on my...
Yeah, I'm with you there.
But the funeral, the burial, or the cremation, or whatever, really that exists for the people who are still alive.
And so you see maybe someone...
And you can mourn me however the hell you want.
You're very comfortable with your mortality. You just I think people may want to make decisions about their post-death because they feel some sense of control and some sense of being uncomfortable with dying, right? Like, let's pretend I have some choice after.
Oh, well,
but
yeah.
But maybe you're very comfortable with dying.
But yeah, I don't care. I guess. I'm comfortable with my own mortality. I mean, I like my death to be as painless as possible. It's the dying. You know what? That's it with me. It's not death that worries me. It's the dying.
That's interesting, because then that would have answered that I was going to ask you. Like, all right, so you're in a plane, and you hit, like, really ugly turbulence, and it's bad. Like, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in that moment? Are you praying to stay alive? Are you praying at all? Are you shitting yourself? Are you like, whatever happens, happens? Are you like, cremation? You're trying to write a letter?
I shit myself when I hit, not literally.
Yeah,
I've never actually shit myself during turbulence. But
after lima beans, you bitch.
Metaphorically speaking, yes. I get panicked, but it's not, again, it's not the dying.
I mean, it's not,
it's not being dead that bothers me. It's falling 30,000 feet before I die that bothers me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'd rather, have
So really becoming a vegetable and slipping away over the course of 25 years is not your worst case scenario.
That is not my worst case scenario.
That's my worst case scenario.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's terrible. Maybe it's
shark,
like,
or fire. I'd rather not.
A shark?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I had to, I don't want to die by a shark attack.
I don't want to be torn apart by wild animals. I don't want an unpleasant death.
I don't want to be, like, stabbed in my bed at night.
But
that
what are you going to do? You don't have very much control over life, so you certainly don't have that much control over death. And I think dying is terrifying, but death itself is not. Once it's over with, I can't. It's over.
And then what happens?
You go to a place in between here and the spiritual beyond, and you have a lawyer.
I love that.
And you look at screenings of your life, and they're embarrassing, unless you're Meryl Streep.
Thank you.
And then you jump off a tram at the end of your stay there to go sit with Meryl Streep.
You can eat whatever you want, don't forget, in that time period.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But if you're spiritually advanced, you don't eat any of that stuff. You eat stuff that looks like turd.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is your Catholic upbringing talking now, I know.
Yes.
Because that's Acts of the Apostles 17,
2-4. Yeah.
If I know my Bible.
Yeah.
Which I don't.
Yeah, this is the Book of Rooks.
The Book of Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not as agnostic as you think.
Lesser known. part of the
Bible. Not part of the Gibson's Bible.
No, the Gibson doesn't have any Jewish parts of this Bible.
The Gibson is like those pieces of paper that are stapled to telephone poles. Like, you have to collect them all, and that makes the Testament.
Yeah, exactly. You have to collect flyers. Really, the Gibson Bible is a packet. It's an awful, awful packet.
Okay, what's your favorite word before we cut out here?
My favorite word?
We said your worst favorite word.
What's my favorite curse word was fuck. My favorite word...
is fuck.
You know, this is going to sound stupid, but my favorite word... is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I love that word.
Did you tell a lot of girls this in high school?
No. No, that's a quiet thing. I mean, it's like, I don't talk a lot about, because I don't like musicals, mm-hmm. but I like Mary Poppins a lot.
Yeah.
I like The Wizard of Oz too, but I love Mary Poppins. And it's, that movie's too long, and what's-his-face is a terrible Cockney accent, but I don't care. And I especially love that supercalifragilisticexpialidocious motif in the film. Both the song is marvelous in the animated world, but then at the end, you know, when the dad says it,
yeah,
it makes him happy.
Yeah.
So I love that.
They can
that.
Say it backwards. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, she can, but I can't.
You can't. I think you should work on that for the next show.
Julie Andrews is way superior to me as a human being and a pronouncer.
Slightly, because I'm sitting here with you and I would not want to be sitting with Julie Andrews.
Oh, really?
Well, just a little bit more, but not as much as you would think. Not as much as I thought I would.
Because she's very charming.
Well.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Oh, thanks. I can't sing, though.
That's all right. It's overrated. I can't either. You can still sing, just not well.
Yeah, no, I can sing and enjoy the act of singing, but I would never charge anyone for it. Singing.
All right, well, let's just have a little song right before we go.
Oh, my gosh, no. A song?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious.
Even though you're loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Thank you.
That was a joke.
Thank you for listening.